Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katie DeLo Cousins coming live. Nope, not live. I always say live. It's not live. I'm lying to you. It's recorded. I am coming at you from the lovely Peachtree, Georgia. I like to say it in the southern accent, even though I don't have one. Yeah. Peachtree, Georgia. It's beautiful here. I am sitting at a lovely conference table in a very new facility. Very new. This is one of our sites. It's called Georgia Addiction Treatment Center, and it got a fancy makeover, and I love it. And I'm sitting here with the Notorious, and if you don't know him yet, you're going to know him. Even. There you go, right? We need music. No. Notorious. Chris, what's your name? Mark with a C. Mark with a C, Wilshire. Hello.
Correct. Hello. Hi.
Will Shire. Shire. Yeah. Like from the Shire. Like except not from the Shire.
Not a hobbit.
Not a hobbit, but from the Shire.
Far from it.
Yeah, you're tall. But he's bearded, though. He's got a nice little red beard.
Yes.
It works for him.
Sometimes.
He's got nice hair. Mm. You can't see him. That would make him really uncomfortable if you could. But the Notorious Mark with a C, Will Shire, coming at you from Georgia Addiction Treatment Center. And he is my victim of my first interview podcast. Say hi.
Victim here.
There's the victim.
Hi.
He's excited. He's ecstatic. He can hardly contain himself.
Yes.
All of the above.
All of it.
We've got our basic bitch pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin cold brews. We're going to do okay.
Correct.
So before we get started on the roasting of Mark, which it won't be because I don't know him quite that well yet and I want to keep working with him, so we're not going to roast him. I just want to really quick give my little brief spiel about the importance of alumni services. For those of you that are in recovery or for those of you that know people in recovery, I think you guys have probably all heard of the Anonymous Fellowships and how amazing a group of people, a group of like-minded people can be as a community to lift one another up and to support one another through difficult times, but then also joyous times. Alumni Services is really looking to do the exact same thing at each one of our sites, right? So the Anonymous Fellowships are everywhere, literally. Like, you might not realize it, but they're on every street corner, essentially. And Alumni Services wants to provide a lot of that same community engagement. We up the ante a little bit that we think it's really important for people to stay connected with the site and the staff and their peers of the people, of the places where they actually found recovery for maybe the first time, maybe the 27th time, it doesn't matter. The point is you keep coming back. And so alumni is really trying to do everything that we can to create fun in recovery, whether it's through meetings or events, haunted hay rides, playing ridiculous card games with each other once a week, whatever it might be for your site. But then in addition, obviously, to empathetic support, outreach, volunteer opportunities, you name it, we're really trying to kind of just cover all of our bases. So Mark is the alumni coordinator, amongst other very imperative tasks at Georgia Addiction Treatment Center. And we're going to learn a little bit about him because this is your first time working in actual alumni, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let's just start there. Mark, tell us a little bit about you. What else have you been doing?
For the longest time, I've been alive. So I'm 30, and I've been working in the field, in the recovery field, for about a little over 4 years. I started off as a behavior health technician, and then I kind of worked. So before I worked in, you know, I had no interest in working in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like in recovery, so like I didn't want it to be my whole life. Mm-hmm. And then as I started like moving towards, you know, being more involved in like, you know, the program that I work, it was just like apparent that, you know, to be as successful for me is just to get as involved as possible. So, you know, I was working at a restaurant before and I was just like, this isn't the move for me. So I wanted to be like kind of more close to my people. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just started, you know, I worked as a behavioral health technician. Then I got into like a little more, you know, client service type things, making sure that I was in touch with the families for, you know, getting, you know, certain things taken care of for when the client was in treatment. So I have like that background of building relationships with families. And then I started working on the collection side, which I...
Hardest job ever.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you, the only job harder than being a tech, I feel like. Being a tech on the overnight shift is one thing.
Yeah, it could be rough. It was rough for a little bit. But, you know, as I transitioned out of that, I started working into, you know, I moved into Georgia to be in admissions and now, you know, working towards being, you know, the alumni coordinator over here at Georgia Addiction Treatment Center. So, you know, I mean, I think what's really cool is, you know, bringing that recovery mindset and like integrating it into the alumni program and kind of like, you know, you're very familiar with how to, you know, be involved in like your own recovery. So mm-hmm. it's like cool, like how to integrate a lot of the people that you meet across the way, because it's super important to stay connected. You know, it's like literally the whole goal is to like make sure that you're not alone.
Ever.
You know, it's yeah. like the support system that you build and all that stuff. You know, for me personally, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like I want to be able to show anybody that comes through our doors, like, hey, like you're never alone. So like, you know, feel free to reach out to me whenever. I'll be calling you for sure.
I like to call it stalking with consent.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I like to call
yeah.
it. We will find you yeah. if you've signed a consent for us to find you. And sometimes, you know what, even maybe if not.
Yeah.
Because sometimes somebody reaching out to you is what someone needs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm here for it all. And, you know, I like pride myself on building that relationship and making sure that everyone feels like welcome and loved and know that they're cared about, you know, like that's super important. Everyone wants to feel loved, you know, everyone wants to fit in, and it's like you can always fit in here. So
yeah, for sure. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your recovery?
Not at all. So I'm coming up on 8 years clean.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm coming up on 8 years clean in December 5th.
Good for you.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so
it's a long time.
It's, you know, it's actually I don't
yeah, you don't
I
don't think it is?
I don't, I mean, I do think it is, right. but like sometimes I'm just like, damn, it's been that long. So I got clean when I was 22. And you know, and at the beginning, I was, you know, I thought that, you know, just being clean was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, I'll just be clean and then, you know, just by osmosis I'll
everything else will
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, everything will be
like,
great.
Poof, everything will be wonderful.
That wasn't the case.
That's not how it
That
works.
Wasn't the case because, oh, okay. you know, me being...
Louder for the people in the
yeah,
back.
That
was
wasn't
not
the case.
The case.
That was not the case. So me being in recovery and not changing any behaviors, and like that's the main difference. Like,
right.
yeah, we can be clean. We can have like a certain change. But like at the end of the day, what, you know, what really set me apart and what really got me on the right track was changing my behaviors. And that was from suffering some consequences. That early, you know, I was like two months clean. I got kicked out of treatment. I had nowhere to go
mm-hmm.
Because I did not know how to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I learned yeah. that the hard way. And, you know, it's like, you know, calling my parents again for like, you know, I was like, hey, I got kicked out. And they're like, oh my God, this guy, like, when is enough going to be enough? Mm-hmm. And it was like, finally, like that, it was just like, wow, you know, it's not even the drugs anymore. Like, you mm-hmm. know, I was really able to see like,
yeah.
this is me,
right.
you know, like, so.
You remove all the drugs and there's your baseline,
yeah.
right?
So yeah, and then, you know, you work on, you know, and you work on yourself, you know, you go through, at least for me, you know, going through the steps and like, you know, being a part and like doing service and, you know, getting, you know, getting the support, you know, building the right support, you know, not just support, but the right support,
right.
people that are going to hold you. Cause there's been times in my recovery where I've literally been carried,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, yeah, I don't use drugs anymore, but you know, I do isolate and I do this, you know, and building that support system,
right.
you know, so it's like an extension of like, you know, the alumni aspect. But anyway, you know, it's like, you know, I've gone through so many great things, you know, in recovery. I was able to, you know, finally go home. You know, it took me like a year to like get home.
Where are you from?
New Jersey.
All right.
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, Wayne, New Jersey, right next to the beautiful city of Patterson.
Oh,
if anyone knows that.
It's lovely there.
It's lovely there.
It's lovely there this time of year.
Very nice parks.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think the park benches are really comfortable.
Super comfortable. So it was cool to go home and like, you know, see my friends who haven't seen me in a very long time. Clean, you know,
yeah.
so like
are
my
they
parents,
clean too?
No.
No,
so like a lot of my friends aren't, but like, you know, they're not like necessarily addicts or whatever,
sure.
but funny backstory is that my mom actually is a substance abuse counselor. She's been a substance abuse counselor since I was like 12.
So this
maybe
whole
even
time.
Earlier this whole time
this whole time,
you know, and like that's where I think you know, kind of Al-Anon helped her out,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
which I hated.
Of
I'll be honest.
Obviously, right?
Like,
of course.
I was like, Al-Anon ruined me.
Why are you killing me?
Yeah, it ruined me.
It is not the drugs. It's definitely Al-Anon.
I cannot get away with anything anymore. So,
that is bullshit.
Yeah, so, you know, it's cool to like go home and like see my mom and be able to interact with her, because the longest, like, I was super selfish, you know, and like I thought, you know, I didn't know what I was getting. You know, I thought I was either getting my therapist or I was going to get my mom. I didn't know which one it was. So,
right.
like, it was cool to like take myself, you know, work on myself and then interject myself back into the family dynamic,
yeah.
you know, so it's like,
did that help her remove herself? Like Al-Anon, did that help her remove
yeah,
herself?
Yeah, she was good
from
before.
That?
She was removing herself for years before I got clean, you
yeah.
know, so like The last time that I actually used, I called my mom, and I was like, I used it again. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, can you help me? And she's like, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. And she hung up. Mm. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, happened for me to, like, you know, it was, like, complete, like, you know, separating and detaching with love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of so.
Could you tell that then? Did you feel that way?
Absolutely
then?
Not.
Not, right?
No,
okay.
No.
I was going to say.
No, hindsight's
8 years sober. Then yeah. You can say that you
yeah,
knew that that's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to, you know, I'm in a new area. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was in New Jersey, and then I went to Florida. That's where I got clean at. And I just moved up here like a couple months ago. So it's like, okay, yeah, I have 8 years clean, but like, let's see where my recovery is at. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's see like how I integrate into here.
Right.
You know, like, am I building, did I get a sponsor? Am I building the support system? Because it's great, you know, to be clean, but like, right. What are you doing to enhance it? You know, like, I'm not just trying to be dry.
Yeah, you don't want to be a complacent. You want to continue to evolve as a person.
Exactly. You know, and like, there's no better, it's like it's a new area. So you feel like a newcomer, you know, and like,
are you a person that likes change? Because usually, obviously, historically, we're always talking in the field that addicts hate change, quote unquote.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure I'm a fan of change.
Right.
But, like, you know, at some point, you have to embrace it.
Sure. You can shift that perspective.
Yeah.
That, like, this could be a fun new adventure if you let it be.
Yeah, and recovery's taught me a lot of things. I think the one thing is, you know, that I've really tried to change is, like, being more involved in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, when I wasn't clean, I wasn't involved. And then, like, I spent so much time down in Florida that I didn't really make it back up to New Jersey that often, you know? And like, for me, I lost my dad when I had like 4 years clean, and like, knowing that I didn't have to use through it, and then being there for my family, and like, you know, cause like
a game changer.
When it first happened, I was like, which is like, I think natural grieving stuff. It's like, oh my God, like, I'm never going to talk to him, I'm never going to see him, all this stuff. And it was just like so me focused, you know, it was like so self, and I don't want to say self-centered because it's just grieving.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was able to like kind of redirect myself and be like, wow, you know, I can, you know, I'm going to be next to my brothers. I'm going to be next to my sister.
Yeah. You can be there for your mom.
I'm going to be there for my mom. Yeah. I'm going to be there for, you know, my whole family. And I was able to show up, and it's just like, instead of just thinking it's all about me, like how much I'm hurting, it's like, how much can I help?
Mm.
You know, like that's what like recovery does. It's
that's
like,
awesome.
It just changes your whole mindset. So, you know, and like, and at that point, I realized, you know, I didn't get to see my dad that much. He wasn't really around when I was growing up, so I didn't get to see my dad that much. So when I was able to go up there, it was, like, super special.
Mm.
And, like, you know, I know, you know, unfortunately, it took, like, that kind of event to, like, kind of show me, like, how important it is to get up to New Jersey a little bit more for my family because, you know, they don't really get the clean mark. You know, they got old Mark.
However you're going to describe yourself, Mark.
I was trying to be nice to myself.
He really went through a scroll of adjectives in his mind. You could see it across his face.
I was trying to be nice to myself. So, they're not around.
Yeah.
Like to see all that growth that happened. Like they're around enough now to where, but I want to be more involved in their lives. So
well, it's like your next phase of
service. Yeah.
Right? It's like you've done so much service in your community.
Yeah.
That now it's like you've prepared
100%. Yeah.
And that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. I think that's super important, you know, just to stay connected to your family because, you know, they, as much as my friends loved me and or if they didn't or whatever, my family was always there for me, you know? So
that's
like
awesome.
it's good to get back.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, and just thinking about, so when I first got here, I just landed in Atlanta a couple hours ago, and Mark and I went and got coffee at Starbucks, and we're sitting there talking about how like each one of the Amethyst Recovery Center sites has got like its own energy. And so since the beginning, since the first time me and Mark and I have even spoken, like he's talked about the culture at Georgia Addiction Treatment Center and how it's a little bit older. It's a beautiful area in Georgia. Very like, to me at least, especially because I live in Broward County, Florida, but it's very residential looking. It looks like a nice little place for families to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really like brought up that conversation about family and how, do you want to talk a little bit about how family might be a part of your program here, your alumni program
here? Yeah, for sure. You know, from what I've been, you know, experiencing is that, you know, it's like way more suburban, you know, so it's not, you know, we're a little bit removed from Atlanta. We're a little bit south. So it's like, you know, it's my first experience in something like this because growing up in New Jersey, you know,
you're
like
near Patterson.
Yeah, I'm near Patterson. I mean, Wayne, you know, it's like, you know, very, it's pretty suburban, but, you know, it's not, it doesn't have this kind of feel. It's like that southern, you know, hospitality.
It's beautiful.
You know, it seems like everyone's really, really close knit.
Yeah.
You know, neighbors are saying hi to neighbors, which is something you don't necessarily see in Broward County.
Yeah, people are super friendly.
Yeah,
like
it's
holding
wild.
Doors for people.
Yeah, it's
I don't
wild.
Really know what's happening.
Yeah.
The people in the airport are ridiculously nice.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
It's a nice airport.
It's a beautiful airport. Yeah. There's like trams.
Oh, yeah. There's trams in there.
I was extremely lost, if I'm being honest with you. That's okay. Yeah, I figured it out.
I think it's super important. Like, I was just talking about, like, you know, all the stuff with my family. And I think that if you have family in the area, and a lot of people are local. You know, a lot of people that are local and, like, you know, the services that we offer, it's able to, for people to come here and, like, still be active in the community, still, you know, be close to their house.
Right.
So I think that's definitely good. And then, you know, trying to invite the family in because, you know, we all know that it's a family disease. At least I know it.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of the education that we're trying to provide to, you know, our clients to, you know, like, listen, this affects you. We're working on you. And then as well as, you know, branching off, it's like, you know, the family dynamic, you know, just needs a little tweaking. Mm-hmm. You know, not that necessarily anything's broken, just needs a little bit tweaking. You know, if we can change the narrative of, like, oh, you know, but it starts with the client. So, like, you know, everything, as they start to transform and start to, like, you know, reacclimate back into, you know, their daily lives and, you know, assimilate into, you know, their jobs and stuff like that, you know, you start to see the family dynamic change. And sometimes when that dynamic changes, you know, whether it's, you know, good or bad, like, some families don't know, like, how to not enable.
What's going on, yeah.
You know, some families, you know, don't know how to detach, you know. So it's just, like, as they start doing stuff like that, you know, we're going to try and offer, like, as much support as possible. You know, I've talked to multiple families and, you know, I've gauged, like, there's a lot of interest level in that. And I think that when you have not that like this is not indicative of Florida, but it just feels like, you know, when I was down in Florida, it was very hands off.
Yeah.
You know, families
were
like
less human almost. Like, I hate to say that, but.
And families were just like, you know, you send them over there, you know, whatever happens over there, you know, if they come back, whatever.
Right.
And it was just like, here doesn't have that feel. It's like, you know, they want to be involved and, you know, we just got to, like, kind of direct them and, like, you know, the level of involvement and, like, you know, what's healthy and what's not.
Yeah. They want to learn too.
Yeah.
Right. They don't just expect to, like, ship their family member off to treatment and cross their fingers that they'll be quote unquote fixed when they leave. The family wants to learn about what's happening.
Exactly.
As well.
And I think, you know, like, especially, you know, coming here is that, you know, I try to keep in contact with the families as much as possible as they go through the process when they leave. And that's, like, the kind of thing that I'm kind of realizing is that, you know, we can bring some family members in here and have, like, a family night just so they can kind of meet each other too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they might know each other.
It's possible.
Depending on how, like, where the, you know, like,
they shop at the Fresh Market across the street from Starbucks.
Exactly. So it's like, you might know them. And, you know, I think support is, you know, just not even for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, support is just super, it's important.
Absolutely. And to know that you're not alone, right? Going back to, like, the mission of alumni.
Yeah, never alone.
Not alone. Yeah. Families need that same thing. Like, especially after, like, if you've listened to my podcast that was before this one with Mark, you know, I myself am not in recovery, but for me, it's very much about my family. And knowing what I know now about recovery and active addiction after going through grad school and working in treatment, blah, 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 whatever. Now knowing what I know, it makes me feel so sad that my family members felt that alone. You know what I mean? That they've passed away and they could have passed, they more than likely passed away feeling like they were out there in no man's land on their own.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And it's awful to definitely know that that's absolutely how my family felt when my family members were going through active addiction or suicide, whatever it was in that case. But it's just so important to bring people together as often as we can, especially when they share a common bond, not just of recovery or addiction, but the actual site as well.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's going to be awesome. I really am excited for
I'm as excited just because of my personal experience and, like, being able to, like, you know, have the relationship I have with my mom now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like there's going to be, like, a celebrity guest of Mama Wilshire.
Oh, yeah,
right?
She will.
I think that would be epic.
She would love to do
How
that.
How do we get her travel on our card?
Oh,
like, let's make that happen.
You don't have to tell her twice. If you can get her on a plane, she'll go. She loves the warm weather. Yeah, no, so I think that, you know, just from personal experience, you know, and seeing how, like, relationships can change and, you know, it's not one-sided where it's like both, you know, it's like, you know, me reaching out to my mom and, you know, I think that's just something that we want to build and, like, instead of, like, you know, not necessarily, like, using our family, but just, like, being able to contribute instead of just, like, taking and, like, giving, you know, a healthy balance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure her getting a phone call from you just being like, hey mom, how's your Friday or how's your Monday, whatever day today is. I don't even know.
She knows not to call me on Mondays after the Cowboys lose.
See, there you go.
She knows.
She knows, right? And she doesn't have to worry about why she can't.
Nope.
Right? It's just because you're sad and sulking someplace, right?
That's exactly it.
That's awesome. Why do I feel like there's only like five NFL teams that people like. It's like the Patriots, the Giants, the Cowboys, and that's really actually it.
I'll be honest. I think there's only one on that list that matters.
I'm sure most people would probably disagree. I can only empathize with you because I like the Orioles for baseball, and they're awful too. So yeah. It is what it is. What are you going to do? I love it. So fun question. If you had an office... He does have an office.
I have an office.
He has an office. But I feel like no alumni coordinator in the history of the universe, I'll speak for myself, we've got too much energy. I almost said something else. We have too much energy to put into a little office. You try to put us in a little closet and we're going to fizzle. Well, we're not going to fizzle out. We're going to break through walls. So, but pretending that wasn't the case. If you've ever been in treatment or worked in treatment or whatever, you more than likely know that most offices of individuals that work in treatment have some sort of fun flair, right? So the executive director here at Georgia Addiction Treatment Center, his name is Jesse. His is very much Marvel Comics, right? So he had like Batman, Spider-Man,
all of them.
Matt Bell, the executive director over at Midwest Recovery, his has got all kinds of cool like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff from New Orleans, like cool stuff. My boss, Mike Silberman at Amethyst, have you ever been in Mike's office?
I have not.
It is the most epic thing you've ever seen. Let me just do a quick shout out because you'll find this amusing. So first of all, it's like Imperial Walkers from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's got a little Gollum from Lord of the Rings in the corner, like a life-size one. But here's the best. So Mike used to be in a band, right? I think, don't quote me, I believe that this might have been before he was in recovery. But he was in a band long, long, long time ago because he's been in recovery for a long time. But he has if you look on the wall in his office, he has a check in a frame, right? So one of the days when I was at corporate, he was like, so funny story. I was in a band, yada, yada, whatever, about 6 months ago, something like that. He got a phone call and they used his band's song in some movie,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a royalty check now for like $100 a month. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But anyway, there's all kinds of fun flair in offices for people that work in treatment. What would your office look like, Mark? Really think about it, because if you say Dallas Cowboys, it's not going to be unique.
I mean, it's just blaring in my mind. It's just going to be so cow. Like, I would do it as much as... I mean, if I... I'll be... Okay, so... This is hard.
He's really thinking. I wish I could take a video of like how his face is really like...
It's twisting.
The steam is coming out of his ears.
It's twisting and turning right now. I think it'd have to be like, you know, a whole mix of things. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Love
Old
Star
school
Wars.
Star Wars though, or new, like
both.
The whole thing?
Both. You know, I like the stories that, you know, that go on and the fight for good and evil and, you know, the balance and stuff like that. I think that's such a good storyline. I'm a big music guy.
Okay.
Right. So, one of my favorite artists is Frank Ocean.
Okay.
So, I would probably be more inclined to start off there. You know, I have like a bunch of tickets and I have a bunch of like concert shirts.
Okay.
And I have, you know, album art and like all that stuff.
That's cool.
Posters. So I'd probably go, but like my music is so like it ranges, right?
Sure.
So it's like I probably would. That'd be my first go-to if it wasn't like sports related.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Dallas Cowboys one more time.
In case you didn't hear him, really quick.
Yeah, but I think it'd be music. I think music is it's so like, it's just like I can be riding like I was just thinking about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I was like riding down these beautiful Georgia highways where it's actually surrounded by trees and it feels like I'm actually breathing real oxygen.
Yeah, right. As opposed to Broward County where it's questionable on what you're breathing
smog.
In general.
Yeah,
right?
For real.
if you're lucky.
So I was like,
if you're lucky.
I was like rolling the windows down. I'm just like, I'm blasting some Frank Ocean and I'm just like belting my lungs out.
That's
and I'm just
awesome.
Like, this is life. So it's like, so music is like a huge part of my recovery. It's just like listening to music and like having it on the background and relating to music and stuff like that. So it'd probably be like, you know, I've went to a few festivals and I think it would be cool to, you know, get like my festival posters and just put them up in the office.
There you go.
Yeah. So
that's good energy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
I like it.
Yeah. Music would probably be the go-to. There's like a bunch of, you know, artists that I would like to, you know, show respect and show love to that changed a lot of stuff for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Can you pick one? One monumental song that was important in your recovery or still is important
one
in your recovery.
One monumental song that's important in my recovery.
Do you tie it with like one of your moments, whatever your moments might be, whether they're come to Jesus moments or aha moments, whatever you want to say.
Okay. So
he's excited. I'm gonna now. Keep
this is such a good question. And it's like, and what's awesome about this is that I've actually thought about this recently. Mm. And I've had a conversation about this recently.
You know you're on the right path then.
So
right?
It's really cool that you asked this because I'll preface this with, it's a Frank Ocean song.
Okay.
And it's called Nights.
Nights.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I have to write that. I'm gonna Google that.
Yeah, Google
I'll
it.
To
it's
it.
One of my favorite songs. And it's just cool because I listen, so there's like a podcast that I listen to, mm-hmm. podcast.
Right.
And I listened to, like, you know, because I had ideas about the song and I was like, oh, this is what it means, this or that.
Right.
And I listened to the podcast and it's just so in depth about like what Nights means, you know, and it's just mm-hmm. like there's this, you know, this first half of the song that tells like, you know, the first half of the album. You know, and it tells like this, you know, this story, and then it goes in like in the middle of the song, just like does this tangible shift where you can like feel it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then it goes, you know, into like, you know, the second part of the album, which mm-hmm. is just like, it feels like it's just like, it's this big transformation.
That's
right.
Awesome.
So it's just like, you know, and it's cool that for me, at least, that I can feel that transformation.
I was just going to say, it's
right?
So kind of indicative.
100%.
Right.
And I think that's so cool because he has like his own story of like, you know, he was, you know, how he grew up and, you know, like how hard it was because, you know, he's a gay artist and
mm-hmm.
like, it's just like how he was able to, he's just like, well, I think he's just like a mastermind,
that's
you know,
awesome.
So he's just like able to construct
he's
that
brilliant.
Song. Brilliant. My opinion is the GOAT. So like.
Greatest of all time.
That's right.
In case you don't know that.
Now you know.
Now you know.
The
write
more,
that shit down.
The more you know.
And the more you know. With the rainbow and everything.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's amazing when artists are able to, even though you don't know them personally, you're able to connect with that part of them so spiritually.
Yeah.
You
know no, it mean? Was, it's cool. And like I said, that's the song that I was listening to as I'm driving down this road.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday and I'm getting ready to go home and, you know, get up for work. And,
right.
you know, it's just like that positivity and just like, wow, this is where I am. And it's super cool to be a part of. And it's super cool to have music,
yeah.
you know, for me, you know, it's just like very, it's very awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive it home. If I have a chance,
authenticity.
If
right?
I have a chance to talk about Frank Ocean, I swear to God, I take
that. I'm noticing
that.
This, and I'm thinking, like, do I know who that is?
You definitely.
Do
there's,
I,
yeah, 100%.
I'm what? Really bad with names about
so
of people.
There's
and,
that song, "Thinking About You."
Can you
I've
sing
been
it?
Thinking about you.
Oh yeah.
So that's
I do
it.
Know that song.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just
right.
like
Nights.
You know, yeah.
With
so,
an S.
Nights with an S.
Nights with
yeah,
an S.
Yeah, I would
okay.
encourage everyone to listen to that.
Write that down, people. You writing that down? I like that. Okay, good. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to close. Actually, I want to ask Mark one more question. If you could give, okay, so let's say right now there is one of our alumni
mm-hmm.
that is out there and having a serious, serious, serious hard time. Maybe they're isolating. Maybe they're in a really, really dark place. Or maybe their family members are really concerned about them. Whatever the case may be. What is one suggestion that you could give them?
You know, I think it was kind of like the subject all day is like, you know, making sure that, you know, that they're around good people that'll, you know, kind of enforce some good decisions. Because at that point in time, you know, from personal experience, you just feel so alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to know that somebody cares enough, you know, to reach out, you know, if somebody's like concerned about your health and, you know, it goes a long way. But, you know, I would just try and tell them like, hey, listen, man, it's like, you know, like we want the best for you. We want you to want the best for you, you know? And it's just like, you need to let them make their own decision. You know, it's just like, but presenting that you're there no matter what,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, we're here for you. If you want to do this or you want to do
that,
you want to go down this road, you want to go down that road. It's at the end of the road,
right.
you know, we'll be there.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, presenting that to them as, you know, like that's what's going on. And like, and if you meet me, if anyone were ever come through here and meet me and be a part of the alumni, they'll know that that's how I am,
yeah.
you know? And I think that's, something that they deserve, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Changing the narrative, that is something that everybody deserves
yeah.
equally,
100%.
Regardless of what choices people make, regardless,
exactly.
and after a certain point, not even a choice anymore, you know, it's like people need to know that there's other humans that care about their existence.
Yeah. It's not like dependent on like everything.
There's no expectation.
Yeah.
There's it's unconditional.
Unconditional.
Right? 100%. I love it. You're the best, Mark.
I try.
Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure.
check out where are we? Check out, well, right now we're at Georgia Addiction Treatment Center. You should check it out. Do we have your face on there? We don't. We should probably get your face on the website. We need to get Mark's face on the website.
I don't know if anyone wants to see that.
His mug. We need to get his mug on the face on the website. You could Google Georgia Addiction Treatment Center. You could Google.
I'm on the website for Georgia Addiction Treatment.
That's what I just asked you.
Yeah, I am. Maybe I heard that wrong.
Yeah. Yep. You could see Mark's mug. Mark with a C.
Yeah.
I love it. You could also Google Amethyst Recovery Centers, and you'll see all of our various sites across the country. Where are we? We're in Georgia. We're in Maryland. We're in Ohio. We're in New Hampshire. We are taking over the world. Pinky in the brain style, world domination. Have a fabulous rest of your day. We will be back at you soon with my next victim of podcast interviewing.
Good luck.
Talk to you soon.